You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, the audio podcast about New Birmingham and the people making a difference.
It's an exciting day here in Vulcan Has a Faith. We have a special guest, Kevin Wolf. He is the president of the Alabama Lyme Disease Association. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kelly. Thank you guys for having us.
We'd love to have you. So how did you become the president of the Lyme Disease Association in Alabama?
Well, it wasn't something I really set out to do. I started this after what we went through with my son, who is 7 years old at the time. He had came down with Lyme disease. Of course, initially we did not know that.
Of course.
So after what we went through trying to find a diagnosis and a treatment for him, at some point during that process, I decided that I'm going to do what I can to try to change the situation that created the issues that we had in trying to find help for him.
And that's an awesome way to do it, being the president. Did you start the chapter, or was it already started?
No, I started it. With my son, we had he came sick. It was in December 2010. He was 7 years old at the time. We had been visiting family for Christmas. Yeah, he became ill. We didn't know what it was at the time. He was when we were visiting family in Arkansas in 2010. Came on like a flu. He had a high fever and began complaining about joint pain in his knees on the way home. Like I said, he was 7 years old, so we thought maybe he was having growing pains, and you know, he had just been playing with his cousins and all this kind of thing, and so we thought he was just being a little boy and he was just worn out. But things quickly changed. Within about 3 weeks, his symptoms became much more serious. And when we were leaving church one week, went out into the atrium. We're going to go to lunch, and when we hit the atrium of the church where the light was a bit brighter, he started screaming, and because of the pain that was caused from the light, and it was like a trigger, just like a switch almost. In that 3 weeks period of time, he was having symptoms like we took him to the pediatrician several times trying to figure out what was going on. Thought maybe a sinus infection. Thought he had a cold, but he was treated with antibiotics during that 3 weeks. Chasing different possibilities that were causing the symptoms. But when we were leaving church and he started having the eye pain, intense eye pain, we knew that something was more serious.
So, definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, that set us off on a different course.
So that led you to start something up in Alabama, like they do in other states for the Lyme Disease Association, and you decided to go that route, helping your son and helping others. What kind of things does the Alabama Lyme Disease Association do?
Well, I'll tell you what we initially set out to do. It took, from that point where my son became ill, very long story short, we went to three different states. We went to Little Rock, Children's Little Rock, Emory University, went to UAB, Children's here, trying to find answers to what was going on. And we would be sent from specialist to specialist. We saw 25 different doctors and specialists at this point, and nobody had any answers. And so finally we ended up, we asked, is it a possibility? Because during this time, of course, we're researching what could possibly be causing this multitude of symptoms that he was going through. And it was debilitating. He couldn't leave the house. As a matter of fact, he couldn't leave the house for a year and a half.
Wow.
Because of the pain. He couldn't sleep. He would only sleep when he had passed out from being in such intense pain. So, yeah, I sound calm now, but obviously it was a very serious situation for a parent. And so we asked the doctor at some point when it looked like we were about to be turned away and really just essentially left on our own. The doctor said, well, it looks like that he needs to have some psychiatric help to deal with the symptoms that he's experiencing. So, of course, we knew that, you know, a seven-year-old is not going to spend 24 hours a day acting like he's sick and giving up everything that he enjoyed in life. Absolutely at that point.
Right.
And as I was saying a second ago, we had researched and found that the only thing that added up as far as his sum of symptoms that he was experiencing was Lyme disease. So we asked the physician at that time, is it possible we could check for Lyme disease? And that's when everything kind of changed for us. And this is what led to me starting the association, because the physician told me at that time, he said, let me just stop you right there. He held his hand up and he said, we don't have Lyme disease in Alabama. And then he pointed at me and he said, I'm going to go one step further. There's no Lyme disease south of the Mason-Dixon line. And he went on to explain to me at that point that the reason that is that there's a lizard in Alabama, and that the ticks, and that this lizard has an enzyme that deactivates the bacteria in his gut. So the ticks bite this lizard, and that's why we don't have Lyme disease in Alabama, because it deactivates the Lyme disease in all these ticks. Well, that didn't make a lot of sense to me.
No.
And so, but I decided at that point, because, well, once we were left on our own, all right, to find help. So we searched around and finally found a doctor 12 hours away in another state that would help us. And we saw him. He said he's seen thousands of cases like my son. Nothing surprised him that we were going through. As a matter of fact, he described things that we were going through that there's no way he would have known. Mm-hmm. So everything added up. And at that point, I decided that, well, we do have Lyme disease in Alabama. And so I set out to start the association with the simple goal of changing that misconception that we don't have Lyme disease in Alabama. So that's where it started.
And that's been the biggest hurdle for you as an organization, to make everybody, whether it's the general public or the doctors, especially around here, to let them know that it's here. And could you tell us about the study that proved that it was here?
Well, there's a number of studies that are out there, peer-reviewed studies that have found unique strains of, and for simplicity, there's a number of tick-borne diseases, but we just kind of generally call them all Lyme disease. I know that I'm not a medical type, but I know that physicians who deal with this, it kind of makes them cringe a little bit. But so just I'll set that up. So generically, we call these tick-borne diseases Lyme disease. Well, there have been studies that have found that there's different strains of the Lyme bacteria in the South, and those are, and this is peer-reviewed studies, but they're largely unrecognized by the CDC, which is kind of where all this starts.
Yes, I agree. So what would you tell the average Alabamian about Lyme disease? What do they need to know to arm themselves to either not get it or when they do get it?
Well, this may sound weird, but the first thing when you get it is to be prepared to be denied that you even have it. So be prepared to go to a doctor or multiple medical providers that will tell you that you don't have it, because we don't have it in Alabama, even though our own Department of Public Health has declared several counties in Alabama endemic for Lyme disease and has sent letters to the doctors in those endemic counties informing them that we do have Lyme disease in Alabama. Those particular counties are ones we hear more from patients telling us that physicians in those counties have told them that we don't have Lyme in Alabama, so they can't have Lyme. So be prepared for that. And you have to become your own advocate. And this, I've never seen, that's generally a good rule anyway, but I've never seen anything to the extent that is important for patients that have Lyme disease. So arm yourself, educate yourself in what the symptoms are. Contact us. We can kind of help direct you in the best direction there is available, right?
How can they reach out to you? If someone needs help, if someone needs resources, where do they go?
Well, the best way is go to our website. You can type in Alabama Lyme, and pretty much everything comes up is related to our website. We have Facebook, we have a website. On the website, we have different ways to contact us through email, telephone. There's forms on there to fill out and contact us. But it's it's important to understand what the symptoms are because they will seem somewhat generic, and Lyme disease can imitate hundreds of different other diseases. We have people come to us. It'll generally come on like a flu. Contrary to what most people believe, and a lot of physicians unfortunately believe this too, it's unlikely that you will have a rash. And it seems that Lyme in the South doesn't tend to have what is called a classic bullseye rash that a lot of physicians use to designate this as Lyme disease infection. So it's important to arm yourself, understand what the symptoms are. We've had people come to us who have been diagnosed with MS, ALS, chronic fatigue, and like I said, hundreds of other symptoms that diseases mimic. And so it's important to understand the combination of symptoms is really the best way to determine that you have Lyme.
Mm-hmm. And the Alabama Lyme Disease Association is a non-for-profit. So if anyone, I'm sure money is needed to educate doctors, to educate the public. Do you have any fundraising events coming up or any other events?
We do. We have several of them we started. We have some fantastic volunteers statewide. Thank goodness, because, yeah, we are a nonprofit, and we certainly welcome any contributions to help us with our education awareness efforts. We have funded several research projects as well. Not enough, but there's always room for more, because research is really what's going to save us here. But in the meantime, yeah, we have education awareness projects that are funded by our we have several different ways, and fundraisers are a big part of that. And we have, coming up in Birmingham, we have what we call a walk, wag, and run. It's hard to say. Lyme disease awareness fun run. That doesn't sound like much fun, but it's going to be at Railroad Park. We had it last year. It was very successful. We were happy.
And when
with
is that?
I was afraid you might ask me that. We'll put that on our website.
Okay,
so we'll have
that's
the
great.
Date. I know the Tina and everyone else that's organized in that will kill me for not knowing the date.
All right. We can find out online.
That's
great.
Right.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you would like to add for the general public, or a note to doctors, or what's something that you want to get out there about Lyme disease?
Yeah, well, awareness education efforts are probably the bulk of what we do, and it's important for reaching out to patients. We have hundreds and hundreds of patients that we have we're in contact with on a constant basis, which doesn't really jibe with the numbers that are coming out of the Department of Public Health. I know that they're trying, but we're wildly underreported in the number of cases in this state, and I think generally in the South. And
very
so
true.
I'll try not to get into the weeds too much, but this is the core of the problem, and the CDC just released new case definitions for, okay, here's a case of Lyme disease. And it differs in the South than it does in the Northeast. I don't really know of any other disease. There may be one out there that is like this, but if you're in the Northeast in 13 specific states, and you go to see a physician and you have a rash that looks like a bullseye, which up there it's more common to appear as a bullseye rash, which, yeah, you may have had that, maybe familiar with that. But if you go into the physician and you say, hey, I've got this rash, doctor, and I got bitten in the last 30 days, then doctor says, well, you have Lyme disease. Let's treat you. If you walk into a physician here, anywhere in South, but let's go ahead and stick with Alabama because that's our focus, and I can tell you for sure this happens, and you say, I think I have Lyme disease, and they say, well, you could have Lyme disease, but I'm not going to diagnose you just yet. Because you have to go through two levels of testing. This is per CDC guideline, which for physicians listening, those are guidelines. They're not rules for treatment.
Correct.
You have to go through two levels of treatment. The first test is, I've seen studies where it's found it as high as 65% false negative results. Now, they rely on that. CDC relies on that as this is a case of Lyme disease. But you're not done yet. If somehow you pass that first level of testing, you're required to go to take another test, which is a confirmatory test. Mm-hmm. It's more accurate, but it still has a 35% false negative rate, roughly. So if you're in the South, you've got to have that rash. Well, that's interesting, but you don't have Lyme disease yet. You have to go through these two other levels of testing with a very high false negative rate, and then you may have Lyme disease. Because, again, in the South, what can happen is that the physicians can take this information, and I can tell you that this has happened. This happens on a regular basis, and I would say weekly. I don't have definite statistics where a patient will go to the physician, here's my testing, it's positive, I had this rash, and the physician will say, that's interesting, but you don't have Lyme disease. And this is in the CDC case definitions that with all the evidence that is very high bar to get over, this physician can still say, you don't have it. So we have this routinely happen to patients in Alabama. There's obviously a need for physician education and physicians to get on board. We're slowly getting physicians interested in helping to diagnose. They want to help patients, but the information is not out there. So we need physician awareness. We have asked in several facilities to have education programs for Lyme disease and have been denied to this point. So that's a great starting point. We have, as far as public awareness, we're getting a lot of that. We're getting a lot of calls, but of patients needing help. And so physician education has been our focus for the last year and a half. And whether we're making headway, I don't know yet.
It's a great need.
Yes.
As I know personally. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with us. I think it's really important that you're a teammate with us, Vulcan House of Aid, so we can really kind of let everybody know what's going on with Lyme disease, but hopefully prevent people from getting it to begin with. So you can get a lot of good prevention tips on their page as well.
Well, I appreciate Vulcan House of Aid supporting us, and I want to say one last thing to all the patients, anyone who is suffering from Lyme disease. I want to know that we are working every day to hopefully give you hope. I mean, we are hanging in there, and we want to offer the patients hope in the end, because there's many days it can seem like there's no other chance. But we want you to know that we're working to change the situation and hang in there if you are going through
it. If you want to donate to the Alabama Lyme Disease Association, you can go to their website, or you can go to Vulcan Has the Fades website, where you will see the Alabama Lyme Disease GoFundMe link, where they can definitely use some help, don't you think, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Yes,
Thank you. A lot
of good things that they're doing, and they run lean and mean. So the money that they get, they use very well. Thank you so much for all you do.
Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fade. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud.